It's August 31st, year 2008, and it's the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Now, as we always tell you, you can't save your soul without the three pillars of prayer, mortification, and learning and studying the Catholic faith. If you're not doing sufficiently all three of those things, you're going to hell when you die. That's the end of it. You've got no choice in the matter. Our Lord told us this is what we need to do. We need to pray, we need to mortify ourselves, and we need to study the Catholic faith. These are the three pillars. If you're doing those things properly, all the other works will flow. The corporal and spiritual works of mercy will flow if you're doing those three things with a good heart, with a good intention. Because you could pray with the wrong intention, you can mortify yourself with the wrong intention, you can even study with the wrong intention. But you still need to be doing those things. You still need to be doing those things. And you need to be doing them with a sincere heart. And then all the other spiritual and corporal works and mercies that constitute the Catholic life, which Jesus says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, will fall in line. If you're doing those things properly, with a sincere heart. If you're not, you can even have prayers, and if you're not doing it with a sincere heart, God doesn't hear the prayer. If you're mortifying yourself with an insincere intention, based upon self-glorification, that ain't going to do you a bit of good. It's just going to pump up your pride. If you're praying just to show people how holy you are, and you're praying more than another person, you ain't going nowhere. That's actually, your prayers are all wasted. It's rooted in pride. We always say, because people abuse prayer, doesn't mean prayer isn't necessary. Because people have a false devotion to Mary, it doesn't mean we don't have to have a true devotion to Mary. You know, just because people and Protestants misread the Bible and take it out of context, doesn't mean we shouldn't read the Catholic Bible, taken in proper context. That's their problem if they're not doing these good things properly or sincerely. So first thing I want to say is, in all these things, you have to find a sincere heart. A sincere heart means you're doing it for the love of God and for the love of the truth. And you have to have humility mixed with that, or all these things aren't going to work. But what we're going to talk about today is mortification, which is one of the necessary pillars. As you know, Jesus said in Luke 13:3, he says, unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. All right, and St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I chastise myself and bring my body in subjection. At least perhaps I preach the gospel to others, and I myself become a castaway. And St. Paul says in Philippians 1:29, he says, Christ has given to us not just to believe in him, but to suffer for him. Now, this is something Protestants don't like to do. All right? They don't want to mortify themselves and suffer for Christ, because they want to love this world and they fell into a luxurious lifestyle. And they don't want to take up their crossing. What did our Lord mean when he said in Mark 8, I think it's 34, where he says, if anyone will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and come after me. And Jesus said in Luke 14:27, if he does, whosoever does not take up his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So there's multitudes of passages and examples that prove we need to mortify ourselves. We need to put our flesh into subjection, because our flesh rebels against the soul, because our flesh is still under the dominion of the devil because of concupiscence. St. Paul says in one verse, I forget what the verse it is, he says, we are waiting for the adoptions of the sons of God, the redemptions of our bodies. He says our bodies have not benefited from the redemption yet. It's, our bodies are still under the death sentence and under the power of the devil, and we have to keep our body in subjection to our soul. And by God's grace and power, you can do that. And that's why St. Francis used to refer to his flesh as a donkey, as an ass. And he used to beat it if it wasn't cooperating. Let's get going! Get going. Come on, kneel. You don't feel like praying, who cares? Beat it and get down, and I'm going to subject my body to my soul. My soul says I want to pray. My heart says I want to pray. My body's saying you don't, doesn't want to pray. Shut up, body. I'm going to hit you and smack you. Get down and pray. And I don't care. You know, and if we don't carry the cross, we're not imitating Christ. Everybody wants to imitate Christ when it comes to the miracles and the good things. Because God does have those. The Catholic life is a balance between mortifications and fastings and feastings. We have a balance. But my point in this thing is to teach people the proper ways and ways in which you can mortify yourself. And to the degree in which God calls you to mortify yourself. Each person will be called. Now, if you were in a monastery, you'd have to follow the rule. If it's a community of brothers or sisters or nuns, they're given a certain rule. People who are called to do extreme mortifications to the point where that's almost all they were doing were like more or less hermits out on their own. They would then be called to go out into a cave, and that's another type of a more. They were called to do more extreme mortification, and less, they weren't dealing with people at all. So everybody's called to a different type of mortification, depending on where God places you. But everybody's called to do mortification. There is no escaping it, or you will be damned. We'll get into the idea on if you're in what I call here, we consider ourselves a holy family. So we would almost be considered, what type of mortifications do you pose upon a family or a lay religious order? That's another thing. That's not to say that the brothers cannot take extra mortifications on themselves in other ways. We're going to get into that. But you're also, and in charity, you also have to abide by the rules of, and they even had to do it through certain monks who were so strict, they weren't even feasting on days when you should feast, like Christmas or Easter season and all that. So they had to force them to do it under pain of mortal sin, that this is now feasting. We're going to get into all the regulations on that. So you got to avoid two extremes, too extreme in mortification or too lax. Too lax to the point where today we don't even have it anymore. You don't even hear about mortification anymore. It's completely non-existent. Now, we know, first of all, mortification is necessary for salvation, because Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. Because mortification keeps the body in subjection so it doesn't rebel against the soul. And if you don't do it, you will fall into sin. And I mean, eventually, mortal sin, not just venial sin. It'll progress. If you're not taking on voluntary, now we'll get into also other involuntary mortifications and other types. We're talking now about voluntary mortifications you take upon yourself, not ones that God sends you. That also counts for a lot also. So if you bang your head, you stub your toe, those are mortifications, but you don't voluntarily ask for those. But that's another form of mortification that is very beneficial. So that's called involuntary mortification. If you bang your head and you're going through a low door and you go, you go like this, I offer this to the cross, Lord. I offer every little pain you get during the day to the cross. That's involuntary mortification. It's a great benefit. Tremendous benefit. But there's only two ways to go when that happens. You bang your head and you start cursing and falling into sins by complaining and murmuring, and you lose. Not only do you not get the grace you would have got for offering it up to the cross, you lost all merit and even sinned in your murmuring and your complaining when God sends you a cross. So we have to accept that's mortification too. And if you don't do that, you're in trouble. I always tell the brothers, it's either a win-win or a lose-lose. Either you're going to do the right thing and be greatly blessed by God, or you're going to do the wrong thing and be greatly in trouble with God. And if it's a mortal thing, even cursed by God. So that's involuntary mortification. So you bang your head, you stub your toe. If something happens that where pain comes your way that you didn't look for. Okay, Lord, I offered up to the cross. At first you are going to go, ow, that's normal. That's a normal physical reaction. But right after that, say, I offer to the cross, Lord. I offer this pain to the cross, whatever it may be, when God sends you an illness. The great saints suffered great mortifications and illnesses that God sent them. That was a great source of grace. But we're talking today about voluntary mortification, and we're saying that if you're not doing sufficient voluntary mortification, then God will pile you down with involuntary ones, where you're going to start getting things happening during the day more than should happen. You're banging your head 3-4 times, you're stubbing your toe to the point where you might break your toe, and God's doing that to you because you haven't done enough voluntary mortification. I always tell the brothers, like say somebody breaks their toe during the day, you say, well, if you'd have whipped yourself the way you should have done and using the discipline voluntarily, I wouldn't have had that happen. Now, that's not all the time. You're always going to get a little bit of both. But I do tell some of the brothers that you're getting loaded down with involuntary mortifications, and a lot of these things are happening to you out there. Well, a lot of that would have been lessened if you would have taken on yourself. Because God is doing you a favor, really, because He does that with all of us, because maybe we don't do sufficient. So He'll go out there and send some other crosses. But even if you're doing sufficient mortification, He will also send you the other crosses. So you need to do both. The other one you have no option, the involuntary ones, you need to just offer that up to the cross, but you need to do voluntary mortifications. And you also need to do it according to the state in life in which you find yourself. And then you're going to find that there's nobody, no matter what state in life, cannot do mortification. Not everybody's called to do the hermit mortifications. Even Elias and Moses, when they did a 40-day fast, they didn't do that all the time. That wasn't normal. You would follow them around. They had days when they were feasting, they would have days when they're fasting. They would have Jesus even when he went around with the apostles. He at the Feast of Canaan, they had wine, they had water. He ate, he's cooking up fish with his brothers. But at times, then he would go and he would do mortifications. It all depends. The thing I want the brothers to watch out is by falling into pride, by trying to impose your penance on someone else because you think that you're better than them or you're being more heroic than them. The way I can see it, if a brother's not doing enough mortification in his private life, because a lot of this stuff is done behind closed doors and you don't even see the brother doing it. And he's not supposed to even boast of it. But my way, how I judge a brother, if I see a brother's falling into trouble somewhere, and I see he's really falling into serious trouble, I'm going to get up there and question him and then ask him, are you doing enough prayer? Are you doing enough mortification? Are you studying your faith? If he's lacking in any one of those, he'll start to fall away and we'll see it. If it gets really bad, we will see it. And then I will counsel the brother. And I will try to find out if he's doing sufficient mortification, but he's not praying enough. Maybe he's praying enough, but he's not mortifying. Maybe he's doing both of those, but he's not doing his daily Bible reading. He's not learning the faith. So you'll be able to find out what the brother's problem is once it starts to manifest itself in his life. If you see him starting to fall away and he's starting to slide, something's wrong in his life, we get down and counsel him, get him back on the road so that he can start doing what he wasn't doing. I always said it about King David, the great King David, who loved God really so much and did all those beautiful psalms and God spoke to and everything. And then he falls away by falling into lust by looking at Bathsheba. The reason he fell was, he'll tell us, I hope we get to heaven so I can meet David, and he will tell us what the problem was. He wasn't praying enough, he wasn't mortifying himself, or he wasn't studying enough. I would tend to think mortification maybe an even prayer, because he got into the palace, it became a little more luxurious when he was in the palace, and things became a little bit easier. He maybe slacked off a little bit. He would tell us that. That would have been the root of his problem that led him to fall into that sin. See what I mean? If you don't, Jesus said, if you don't mortify yourself, unless you do penance, you shall perish. You will, first of all, the first reason you do penance is to avoid mortal sin and to avoid hell. So you need to do penance. The second reason is you need to do mortifications is for the expiation of your forgiven, your remitted sins. So when a Catholic goes to confession, his sins are remitted, he still has the punishment due to sin. And he has to appease God's wrath. So either you're going to do your penance here on earth and expiate those sins, or you're going to do it in purgatory, and it's going to be much greater and much harder and much more painful. So penance also expiates your remitted sins. Penance also helps you to gain grace for others who need to convert and repent. So even if your sins are all expiated, and you would go to heaven if you die right away because all your sins are expiated, you keep doing your penance first so you stay in a state of grace, so you don't commit a mortal sin, and then to help your brothers. While we're talking on that topic, what I do in the winter to mortify myself, this is a winter type mortification. You could wake up at the night or any cold night or any cold morning even, you know, and don't put no coat on, leave a t-shirt on. I just take my t-shirt off even and my RV, and there's no heat in there. It's ice cold in there. You can breathe like that, and I do an office. I'll do a full office, 15 minutes, whatever, and then by that time, when it gets really cold, you're shivering and shaking, and then you're done. With that office, you warm the place back up. That's what the monks used to do when they used to do Mass and Laos. They would go, after they were done, they would go around a fire, because you can't sleep if you're cold. So it's impossible to fall asleep. God doesn't want you to lose sleep, so you can't do your daily work. But there's one of the things you can do. You can just go outside on a cold winter day and pray an office outside. By the time the office is over, it's 10, 15 minutes, you're not going to die. You're just shaking and you're going, you know, and then you're inside. You've done mortification. You take a shower in the winter. When you first turn the shower on a cold winter day, turn the cold on and stay under there for a couple minutes. And think about the martyrs who were on the ice and go, oh, and you're going to be saying like this to, oh, what a chicken I am, Lord, oh, please help me, help me. So you're under an ice cold shower for about 3 or 4 minutes, or five is a lot even if you can stay under five. But if you could, you could. Maybe you can increase it. But even if you stayed under there for 1 minute, that's the mortification. And then turn that warm water on and take your shower. All right? Here's an act of mortification. Fasting. Everybody's called to do fasting. That's throughout the scriptures. Fasting is mortification. Abstinence is mortification. Abstaining from meat on certain days. And all these things, as you notice, and you'll see when I'm giving you these things, they're done on certain days. Certain days, even in the orders, they would not have mortifications, and other days they would. Certain days you have for fasting, and other days you don't. You keep the rule. During Advent and during Lent, you have full fast. And that's when you just have one meal a day during that whole time. And then also abstinence during Lent. We also give up all meat and desserts and alcohol and other things. Giving up things is a form of mortification also. Giving up things you like is mortification, voluntary. We give up the military games, we don't do that. We give up alcohol, we give up desserts, we give up meat, and then we have one meal a day, and that's it. And that's the rule. It's the rule of St. Benedict. That's right out of the rule of St. Benedict. They still had wine, though, during Lent, in the rule, his rule, but we give that up, too. All right. You can give up little things. I'm just giving you ideas on how you can, as the brothers here, we have certain rules because we're living together in community, like a family, we have certain rules. It has nothing to do with ages neither, unless it's a very young child, maybe an infant. There could be a certain rule on that, but you'd be surprised how young kids could start fasting. And God will take care of them. The modern world would say, boy, they're going to be malnourished. They're not going to be getting, oh, forget it. You serve, I'll tell you something, if you just ate the worst bread that has no nutrients in it, the worst bread, and you did it as a sacrifice to God for Lent or something, you're going to come out healthier than the rest of those people, and they're going to wonder, how did it happen? It's a miracle, because you put your faith in God. That's why people over-concerned overly about nutrition and all that. These are people that don't want to fast, because they're worried, I got to keep up my nutrients, I got to keep up this. Well, what was sustaining Moses and Elias for 40 days? What was sustaining them? They didn't even drink water. That's a miracle. But my point is, when you're called to do those in Advent, Lent, to go to extra 110 yards, we say, in football, you go the other extra 10 yards. God gives you the grace. You find out you didn't need all those things you think you needed. And if you did, God's supplying them for you, and you don't even know it. Even Daniel, when he went into Babylon, when he did his fastings, compared to some of the other people, he looked stronger than the other people. All right. So when it's time to do fasting, you fast, you know, and you set your rules. And we have our rules here for fasting. Giving up things is a form of mortification. Things that you like. During either certain days or certain periods of time. You can say, I'm not going to drink alcohol on my fasting days, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Or I'm not going to have desserts on those days. I'm just, when I have my one meal, it's without dessert. And that's what we do here even too. Unless it's a very obligation day or some really special day or somebody's birthday or something. I'm going to give you all other things. Now we're going to go over these things that you can do to mortify yourself. And if we don't do these things, you're not Catholic. You may as well become a Protestant and become a Lutheran or something. Or he says you don't got to do anything but believe in Jesus. What a bum. What an escape goat this guy is. What kind of a God is this who's going to let you do whatever you want and let you go to heaven? What parent, even as bad as they are today, lets their kid do anything they want in the house? Well, they almost are at that point today where they are letting the kid do almost anything. And look at the house. It's complete chaos. Anyway, our Lord says we got to take up the cross and carry it. He says, I'm going to give you the feasting, I'm going to give you the fasting. St. Paul says, I glory in God in tribulations, and I glory when I have plenty. I glory in every situation. Other ways you can mortify yourself. Okay, you can walk around barefoot. You can do it in the house in the beginning. If it's a little rough, to do it outside. There's certain situations like around here, and I tell the brothers, I walk around barefoot all through the town, and the pavement is like 100, over 100, I don't know how high. It's like 115 here, and you can imagine the black pavement. I can walk on that. I got used to it. I can walk on rocks, but I cannot walk on goat heads. And we got a lot of goat heads here on this property right here. I cannot walk on them. It's like I can't do it. So then when I'm walking on this property, I got to put my sandals on. Another thing is to be aware of, don't do anything that's going to harm your health. You don't want to have to do anything that will cause you to go to a doctor, okay? Then you've gone too far. Because if you don't stop it, because here's what happens, it gets into the spirit of pride, and I'm better than you. I'm wearing a hair shirt, I'm wearing two hair shirts, I'm wearing a chain, I'm wearing 20 chains. Well, in the Order of Francis, brothers were dying. And he hated that. He stopped that immediately. And then it becomes pride. And then you become so paralyzed, nobody wants to even do the good things you're supposed to do when you're not mortifying yourself. Scruples set in, it's a whole mess. I tell the brothers that, like somebody might be saying, said, I think they, in Ezekiel or some, our Lord told Ezekiel he can have a loaf of bread a day, a full loaf of bread, and he can have how much wood he can. So the brother says, well, I eat a full loaf of bread a day. One brother says, I'm only eating a half a loaf. And the other brother says, I'm only eating a quarter of a loaf. The other brother says, I'm only eating an eighth of a loaf. Another brother says, I'm only eating one peanut. And another, I'm eating a half a peanut. I'm better than you. Let that never be found amongst us. God forbid if that should ever happen. Because then you're not mortifying yourself for God. You're doing it for your own selfish pleasure. Or out of a sense of scrupulosity, where the devil can fool you, but it's all rooted in pride. You know? I say, there's basic rules we give here on mortification. That doesn't mean you can't go out and do more on your own. That happens when you go behind closed doors and you pick up these things I'm telling you. Some of the stuff is public, like walking around barefoot, and some of the stuff is private, like discipline, whipping yourself. Take up a rope and whip yourself. Oh, you think that's not? Try it a little bit. Go ahead. And don't be, you don't have to do it. Some people get scared because they think you've got to do it to the point where you're really almost killing yourself. Just try it even in the beginning a little bit. Give yourself a little pain. Then you'll find out how much more you can go with it. You can, and when you're doing the rope and you're disciplining yourself, either have a thin shirt on or you can even do it bareback or a thin shirt. But don't do it with a thick sweater because you're not getting nowhere with that. You know what I mean? You get some guy saying, I'm mortifying myself, and he's got two sweaters on and he's not feeling nothing. But if you have a thin shirt, you can do it right through that shirt or even bareback. And so you take and you whip yourself. And I do that three times a day on the fasting days. When I have fasting days, I whip myself on the fasting days. I abstain from wine on the fasting days. We abstain from meat on the fasting days. All of us here, you can never eat meat on Friday unless it's a holy day of obligation. And that's the only time you can eat meat on Friday. All right. Now, I'm giving you ways you can mortify yourself. In the cold, I said about the shower. Oh, also, if you're one of the brothers out there and you drive to work in a car on a cold day, roll down the windows and let the air come in for a while, for 15 or 20 minutes till you're going, you're really cold. And then if it gets to the point where you finally felt you did enough or whatever, then roll the windows up. Here's a little thing. It's a really cold day out, and you're in the morning, you're like that, and you're shivering, roll the windows down while you're driving on the highway and get yourself shivery cold, okay? That's mortification. You could bear with it for a while, then maybe even a little longer if you want. But sometimes people think that mortification, you got to almost kill yourself, but then you would be killed. You'd be dead, or you'd be in the hospital. So God doesn't want you to do anything that's going to send you to the hospital. If God wants you to end up in the hospital, He'll get you there another way. He'll make you sick, or He'll do something else. But these are all, I'm giving you little forms of mortification. We talk about discipline, whipping yourself. You can, like a jump rope thing, you just fold it in two and you whip yourself with a rope. Sometimes you might want to have a coarse thing to whip yourself with it, so you want to shed a little bit of blood or whatever. But you don't want to do anything, again, I tell you, that's going to send you into the hospital. Especially nowadays, you don't want to go to the hospital for several reasons, because if it was a Catholic country, I won't mind, but today, with the way it is in the medicals, you get a little cut on your finger, and they put a Band-Aid on it, it's $3,000 for a Band-Aid. Are you kidding me? You go to the hospital, they charge you $5,000 for an aspirin, you know, $500 maybe, not kidding, it's crazy. Anyway, fasting too, as we say. Now, some people can't fast as much as others because they have maybe a medical problem. Well, then they have to take other mortifications. Whip yourself. St. Gregory the Great could not fast for whatever reason. And he was a saint, and he was a great saint. He didn't fast. He whipped himself. That's what he substituted it with the discipline. And he was a great saint. Well, my point is, everybody should still try to fast. You don't want to go to the other degree of gluttony where you're gaining weight when you're already overweight. Then that's a problem. You have to try to keep your weight under control. Some people by nature, yes, they have it harder to keep their weight under control, but you have to do your best to try to eat less, lose some weight. Even the doctor will tell you that a lot of physical ills is because of overweight. Being overweight can kill you alone. And so you have to do your best to try to not get any heavier when you come into the church as a Catholic. But try to keep yourself going down a little bit at least, backwards. Don't be going heavier in weight. Be going lesser. You know, and do little things that you can give up. And pray God. And I'll tell you, brothers, you got to pray God to help you. Because one person might have a trouble with weight. Another person might have a trouble with pseudo-intellectual pride, where he's heavy in his mind. I say it's not just physical. People think, I call Aquinas and people like him, the pseudo-intellectuals, they got fat brains. If you could look at their brains the way it looks with God, it would fill up this whole room, one brain. So if they all get into the room, their brains are all banging into one another. And it's not, some people have a harder time controlling their physical weight. Some people are heavy in their pseudo-intellectualism, and some people have problems in other areas. But whatever your problem area is, you've got to still struggle and try to keep it in check. And don't let it get out of hand. Now, yeah, it's true, some people can't because they have diabetes or they need that. They can't give a total fast, but you can certainly do something a lot less than what you do on a normal eating day, and you can regulate what you're eating and how you're eating. And even a regular pagan doctor will tell you that, on regulating food. Fasting, like we say here, following the church rules, one meal a day is fasting, and that's the Lent rules. That goes back to the beginning of the church. And they had one. They would argue about sometimes when you eat that one meal, but the main principle is one meal. And you will find out if you got to ask God to help you, because if you don't, you cannot do it. You got to say, God, give me the grace to be able to have, every time on a fasting day, I ask God to give me the grace to be able to do my fast today. We pray a 9-day novena before Advent and Lent for God to give us the grace to do the one meal and to give up everything. And it goes easy. I'm telling you, it goes easy. It goes with joy. It goes with happiness. Because you ask God. And don't ever underestimate thinking that you're just doing it on your own power. That's why I tell a brother, if you're not asking God to help you, you're not going to get His help. If you ask God to help you, He will give you the grace to do it. We got into cold. Now, things you can do when the weather is hot out, like this. Certain days, you can wear a sweater or a hair shirt. On certain fasting days, you can pick out several days during the week. Would you say, again, you could make it coincide with the fasting days, so you can get all your that could be your penitential days, or the three fasting days. You can even do stuff on other days more if you want. But I'm giving you ideas. It's very hot out. Put a sweater on. That's what I would do, and go for a walk. Maybe that guy's wearing a sweater on a hot day. Is he crazy? What's wrong with him? And you're doing penance, you know. Now the other thing is too that you do that to the point where you can bear it. But if it starts to mess up your health, what I mean by that is if it's very hot, you can't sleep at night. And God wants you to be able to rest. Your body does need rest. Because if you don't get rest, you're not going to be able to do your daily duty. People that are working. Now that's, believe it or not, that's considered even voluntary. If you're picking physical work outside, the monks used to do physical work on the farm. That's mortification. It is. And they call it voluntary because you don't have to work. You could be lazy and say, I choose not to work. It doesn't mean laziness even, because some brothers don't do physical work. You can even take it on yourself as a voluntary. But even if you're working just to support yourself and you're doing that's mortification. Physical labor. That's why the monks will go out and labor in the fields. They were getting great grace for that. But you don't get grace for that if you're out there working in the field and you're murmuring, you're complaining, then you become lazy and you go, and your parents ask you to do something, children out there, you do it. And if you find yourself starting to complain, stop it right away because you're going to lose all grace. You're going to commit a sin, maybe even a mortal sin if you keep doing it, and God will send you to, if you die that way, you'll go to hell for that alone. So if your parents tell you to go out there and do some work, like you've got to chop wood, you've got to move things, if you catch yourself going, I'm going to do it. It's my parents, first of all, it's God's command. Obey your parents. I'm going to get great graces for it. And only if I do it joyfully. So go out there and do it. And do it joyfully. And I tell you, in the beginning, it may be hard. But you're going to get used to it. God will see you working at it. And within a week, 2-3 weeks, you're going to be doing it with joy. You're going to be doing it with joy. It's the St. Joseph prayer. Help me to do my daily duty with joy. But in the beginning, in certain days, maybe it'll be a little bit harder. But once you get into the habit of doing it, not complaining, God starts giving you grace. If you start moaning, if you start complaining, everything becomes worse. Everything becomes evil. The devil starts coming in on you. Then you're going to start even maybe falling away from the faith in there. Oh, there's a heap of evils that come from murmuring and complaining, which is rooted in laziness or slothfulness. Our body always would tend to make us to be lazy and slothful. We've got to keep it in check. We can't let it dominate us. And in the beginning, we got to force ourselves. If you find yourself complaining, you know, now there's nothing wrong with complaining about something that really needs to be complained, something that's unjust or is literally impossible to do. But that's not murmuring. You're making a just statement. But whatever your daily duty is out there, and you take, now some people cannot do physical labor. They don't have it in. They're sick. That's another issue. Fine. Your sickness is your cross. For them, simply getting up and walking across 50 yards of turf is painful because they're older. They got sicknesses. They can't be expected to do the things that someone else could do. That's suffering for them. But I tell this for people that are in the working world, like a lot of the brothers who have to go out there and work a certain period of time when you are working. When I even was out in that working world, and I work, do your job diligently. Do your job cheerfully. And do not murmur. And do not complain. You know, unless there's a just reason for a complaint, fine. And even then, you got to make sure the complaint is based upon justice and not upon laziness or slothfulness. You hear a lot about this. Anybody who worked in factories, you always hear this. Oh, my boss is a... He's this or that. My boss is that. Well, what is he doing? What do you want to do? You want to come... I used to say, people say, these lazy people, and I grew up in the inner city, they show up for work and they go like this. Hey, I showed up for work. You mean I really got to work? Yeah, you really got to work. Showing up isn't enough. You can't just sit behind there and not do nothing. And if you were like a good worker and you did your regular job, they would look at you and say, hey, stop working. You better stop working, man. You're making us look bad, you know. Now, there are certain bosses that will overwork you. But even St. Paul says, when you have a forward boss, obey him, even you'll get grace. If it's something that becomes impossible, there is nothing wrong with legitimate complaint. But I've worked in many jobs in my life. I've probably worked in every different type of job you can think of. And I know how people are. And I know how they complain. And I shut your mouth and do your job. You know, and if you're working next to somebody like that, they make your life miserable. And you have to tell them, shut up and go complain to someone else. I don't want to hear it. Then go get another job if you want, all right? But shut up. Or if this job isn't for you, because it's not physically, then get another job. They would even tell you in a convent or a monastery, they would tell the nuns and the brothers, some brothers are made for spiritual work more than physical work. Some brothers are made for more physical work than spiritual work. Determining what the brother can do, a good superior knows. And even a person who knows, can know in himself. And he would tell him, I'm not very much for physical work. I'm weak. I have bad lungs. I have bad knees. But I can do a lot of spiritual work. I can help you in your record keeping. I can help you over here. So everybody has your work. My point being, when you're doing your daily duty, you're doing is mortification. If you submit to it cheerfully. If you don't, it's a lose-lose. If you do, it's a win-win. And there is no in-between. I'll give you an example. Your parents tell you, go out and get the dogs, and I want you to put them in the cage, or I'll go out and I want you to go out and get the wood. And then all of a sudden you catch yourself like maybe, no, stop it, do it. If your mom tells you to clean the dishes and clean the house, you do it. and you don't complain. You go like this. If you find yourself moping a little bit, that's laziness. That's your flesh rebelling against God's commandment. Remember what God said. Obey His commandments. That means obey your parents and do your daily duty. Stop complaining and go, yes, mother, I will do it. And I will do it. And I will be happy when I do it. And then God will start making you happy. You'll start doing your chores. And you're going to start being happy when you do them. You're going to actually love them. So there's all, when you serve God, benefits are all over the place. Now, we're going to get into other forms of mortification. We just talked about working and your job and all that. We talked about heat. You can put on a sweater and go for a little bit of walk and then take it off when you come home. When you go to bed at night, don't do anything where you're going to lose sleep because you want to have strength when you wake up. So, you know, if you're wearing that sweater during that day, when I go home at night, I would take it off so you get something to cool down a little bit so you can sleep. Literally, sometimes if it's too hot, you can't even sleep, or too cold. I had a problem even in the winter when I would get myself so cold, my feet would never get warm, and I couldn't sleep, so I had to put my feet in hot water to cool, get my feet warm. Because when your feet are ice cold, you cannot sleep, and then I wasn't sleeping, and it was ruining my day. So I said, Lord, I want to do the penance. I want to be able to get ice cold. Everything warms up, but my feet. My feet are like ice bricks under the even under the best sleeping bag. And so then I had to go in and put my feet in hot water to get them warm so I can sleep even at night. So there's all little things, but when you're, because it would maintain itself much too long because then I couldn't sleep, you see? Vigils, okay? You can determine to stay up late certain nights and do prayer into the night. You don't have to stay up all night. You can stay up part of the night. You can stay up all night if you want. You can stay up part of the night. These are vigils. Now, you don't want it, if you're doing it too much to the point where it's ruining your daily labor, like if you're going to be working up there, you can't do stuff like that if you're doing daily labor, because you need to have strength to go out and work in the field. But there might be certain days which you could do a partial vigil. Some people may be able to do a full vigil. You can also wake up earlier than you normally do on certain days. Certain days, wake up a little bit earlier. And then you can do some more reading and studying or praying even. So you can wake up earlier certain days. Sleeping, all right? Some days you can sleep on the floor. You can sleep on a mat, on straw. Now, straw is like a thin mattress. What I sleep on is a very thin mattress most of the time. It's just, that's it. I never sleep on a regular bed. But I'm not saying you can't if you have to. Some people, you know, sleep. But there's times, my mattress, I don't know, it's no more than maybe about 3 inches or 4 inches thick or whatever. But and then sometimes you can sleep on the floor even. But you don't want to do anything. You want to make sure you can get used to these things, by the way. So we're talking about you just can do these things. If you want to sleep on the floor several times a week, one time a week, one time a month, twice a month, you make up your decision on that. But you want to also make sure that you're sleeping so that when you wake up, you're strong enough to do your daily duty. So what you sleep on, okay? So you sleep on something less soft than what you're using now. So if you're on a regular bed, you can go to a bed with a thinner mattress. Or you can go to a mat, or you can go to a floor, you see? And you don't have to do this every day. You can choose the days in which you want to do this. Now, if you're in a religious order, some religious orders, they slept on mats. And other days, I'm sure, probably, for certain penances, they slept on floor even. Okay, so as far as you can, that's mortification, voluntary. Okay, chairs that you sit on, all right? You can sit on hard chairs that have no mats, or a chair that has a very thin mat, which is almost equivalent to no mat. That's why you see in here, mostly all I have in here is hard chairs. I do have a few soft chairs because there's a time when you really may want to rest because you're very tired and you need to rest. Then you can sit on a softer chair to get your body rested up if you're in such a condition where you really do need that type of rest. But for the most part, I try to sit only on hard chairs. Only very rarely will I sit on a soft chair, maybe just to get a nap or you want to take a quick fall asleep nap or something. But that's why you see in here, we got these Samsonite and these hard chairs in here. Or a chair with just a light mat. That's penance. You know, you come into some of these people's houses and you visit them and they have these big, I sink into some, whoa, I want to fall asleep and everything. But there's nothing wrong with that. You could have that. We have a chair like that in here and we have our beds here. But you also should have your hard chair. So there's times when you do want to sit in a comfortable chair when you want to just, say you want to get relaxed and you want to fall asleep or something. You know, then you could do that. You can have that too. I'm not saying you can't have it. I'm just saying that balance out a little bit. Have some hard chairs around too. So for certain days, you can say, I'm going to sit on hard chairs now, 3 days a week. Today, I'm only going to sit on a hard chair on your fasting days or whatever. You don't have to always do that. You can still sleep if you have a regular bed, fine. But you could at least say, on this day or these other days, I'm going to sleep on something a little less comfortable. So there's another way you can do mortification. If some people can't sleep on hard surfaces because their bones get all messed up, then replace it with another mortification. I'm giving you ideas. You've got a whole smorgasbord of things you can choose from here. And you can mix them and all that, but you got to be doing something. Giving up things, as I told you, is an act of mortification. Exercise is a form of mortification. Now, doctors tell you to do exercise anyway because it's good for you. So physical exercise is mortification. Offer it up to the cross. You know, and because it's great when you're a Catholic, because when you're a pagan, people exercise for all. They ain't getting one bit of grace when they're out there, like the football player, and I like sports and all that. I play sports, and it is good. It's good in the natural plane to discipline your body like that. It's a natural good thing, but you're not getting any supernatural benefit from it until you come into the Catholic Church. So if you're a Catholic football player or a Catholic baseball player, we don't have any of that because you don't have any Catholics. But if you did, that person could be getting grace while he's exercising. You understand? Anything that brings pain voluntarily is mortification. When you exercise. So when you're in the church, boy, not only do you get the natural grace that comes with exercise, you get the supernatural grace that God gives you for expiating sin and preventing you from falling into mortal sins. Look at all the bonuses you get when you're a Catholic. The biggest bonus is the opportunity of salvation. Other thing you can do when you're praying certain days. Well, first of all, when we pray, in the monasteries, in the convents, they pray the offices standing up. That's standard. Only maybe some offices during certain penitential times do they do them kneeling. But that's why I impose upon us all, we do them all in kneeling. So you're already doing, that's penance. That's what they would call penance. Kneeling when you're doing all your offices. If you look at the rules, of all the rules, they would stand when they do their offices. We only stand for Sunday Vespers. But all the other offices, we already kneel. That's a form of penance, kneeling. Kneeling longer than you normally would. Kneeling tomorrow, or kneeling when you do your holy hour. You know, kneeling for 1 hour straight through. All right? Or kneeling with your hands extended like this, which we always do during Advent and Lent. We pray Vespers like this, with our hands out in the form of a cross. And we keep our hands out that way. And you try that for about 10, 11 minutes. You see how I always say to God, and look, I'm no Superman, believe me. When these things happen, I say to God, what chickens we are. You know, if God doesn't give us the ultimate grace of martyrdom, when you read about what these martyrs had to go through, we're doomed. And the martyrs will be the first ones to say that. I always tell my brother about that one woman martyr that was pregnant, St. Felicitas. She was going to give birth, and it was the day before they were going to martyr her. But they said, we can't martyr her because let her give birth to the child. We don't want to kill the child. So even these pagan Romans were not so vicious. They at least let the child be born. So they said, let her give birth to the child, then we'll martyr her. So that night when she's giving birth, and she's in all kinds of birth pains, because our Lord said, that's one of the sufferings women must undergo. So she was undergoing birth pains and in pretty agony, screaming. And the guard comes in and goes, how are you going to be able to undergo martyrdom tomorrow and you can't even bear child pain? She said a wonderful thing. She said, this pain I'm suffering now is a human pain. And it's something we got because of original sin and all that. But when I suffer tomorrow, God will be with me. Because it's for God and it's for His faith. And He will give me what I call His Novocaine. People argue. I mean, Richard, what do you mean? Yes, His Novocaine. Yes, brothers. That doesn't mean you're not going to feel no pain. But I'll tell you something. If He doesn't lighten it and give us the strength, we ain't going to do it. If you think you're Joe Superman, and some people were like that, smart, and they broke under torture, God wasn't with them, and they ended up in hell. You need God to go before you. If you sat back and thought, hey, I can take that. You can peel my flesh off. I'm not going to even bump. Are you crazy? You need God. You need God. My point is, when you're doing these mortifications, it shows us how weak we are. But even though you don't think, sometimes people think they have to be doing mortifications unto death, but then you'd be dead. How would you be able to serve God? How would you be able to do your daily duty? How would you be able to do it if you went too far? But you can still do. These things will bring you pain, and you can find out. I'm giving you a whole list of things you can do here. You could put, if you don't want to walk around barefoot, you could put a couple of days during the week, 3 days, you could put stones in your shoes, if you have shoes. Put a couple of stones under there, or pebbles. And then you're walking on pebbles when you're walking. You can do a lot of things. And these are things people don't even need to see, you see. But this is all mortification. And necessary? Absolutely. You got to do it at certain times and certain periods, but you don't need to do it all the time. When you have your days when you're not mortifying and you're feasting, you better feast. And we balance all. A Catholic life is a balance of every one of these things. Because then there's the opposite danger of falling into over-rigorism. We become so strict, everything becomes, you lose the joy in life on the feasting times because our Lord feasted and He fasted. He did both. And as Catholics, we're not Puritans. And I've seen the people on the other extreme right, and there's no joy in their life. They are as cold as ice. They are faithless. And they even fall into immorality because God curses them if you're over-rigorous. And or if you're mortifying, you're fighting yourself for the wrong reason. So you need to balance the life. You got to find out. You can't impose your mortification on someone else. Everybody has a different form of mortification that suits them. You know, and you got to be careful of rashly judging another person because you think they're not doing enough. Especially when you're living in a family community where everybody is in a family situation. You're not under a vow of a religious community. Only under religious community can you demand somebody to. Now, Mirrors of the Remnant, we do have certain basic rules. But that doesn't mean each individual cannot go up and above that on his own. But it does mean that when we are feasting, we come together and we feast together. If you get a brother that's not feasting at all and he's just staying away, he says, well, then you really want to be a hermit. You don't belong amongst us. You should go. Then maybe that's true. We may get a brother in here who's called to be a hermit, and that's fine. So then we'll do our best to find him a cave and we'll help him. Maybe he'll say, hey, brothers, can you bring me a loaf of bread, 7 loaves of bread every Sunday? Yeah, or, sure. And then he'd come out Sunday. I'm not saying that can't happen. It could. But then he's a hermit. That's his job. But not let him condescend to those who aren't doing those extreme mortifications. Let him know also that the brothers that are called out to evangelize, that's their mortification. Evangelizing is mortifying. To go out there and have to deal with the pagan world is mortifying. You know, or another brother who's called to go out there and work. I tell brothers that are doing physical labor out there, that's a great act of mortification if you offer it up to God. It is great. It's great graces come from that. Because sometimes a brother may tend to come here and some of them try to be heroes and take on all the penances in 2-3 weeks, and after 1 month they're exhausted and they're out of the monastery because they didn't balance themselves, you see? So, when you feast, yes, you're feasting. We said that about one of the nuns. I thought you nuns are supposed to fast and do it. Yeah, here we are. But we feast also, and this is a feast day, all right? So here it is, you see? The reason that started the decline was not just liberalism. It was rigorism on the other side. Oh, yes, that's equally evil. Where all they cared about was these acts of mortification and talked about the moral commandments, but they denied the faith issues. Complete hypocrites. They didn't have the full balanced life. And what happened to them? They didn't know the love of the law. They didn't know the spirit of the law. They fell into heresies. And they fell themselves into immoralities. The very immoralities that they were preaching against, they fell into. Because God pulled His grace away because they were over rigorous. I grew up with them. I know everything about them. But one day I'll save a sermon for them. And don't kid yourself. That person is equally evil as the liberal on the left who doesn't believe in any mortification. No, thank you, I want neither of them. Our Lord said in Proverbs 4:26, make straight the path that I feet, and all thy ways shall be established. Decline not to the right nor to the left. Center the road, and that's where true joy is found. So, I gave you a few little clues on what you can do there, brothers, for mortification. I told all you non-Catholics that are listening to this sermon, you need to do it also. It'll help you get graces to come into the church, along with prayer. That's how you come into the church. First, you start seeking God. He gives you the grace to start seeking Him because you want to know who He is, you want to love Him, and you want to learn about Him. Then He starts inspiring you to pray to Him. Then He starts inspiring you to give up and deny yourself in certain things and mortify. And then you're on your road coming into the church even. That's part of the standard Catholic life, which our Lord is trying to tell us and show us how this fallen world is evil. The flesh is going to go by the wayside. It's under the dominion of the devil. We have to keep it under wraps. We have to let the soul dominate the body and not the body the soul. And we ask Brother Francis of Assisi to help us to mortify ourselves in a sufficient manner for each one of us, and nothing more and nothing less. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. It can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.